Hello, dear aspirants. Greetings to every one of you, and welcome to our today's general knowledge class. I am Sir Godwill Yakum, and today we're going to be looking at a very vital topic for your public concours. We're going to be discussing on the topic human rights and public freedoms, and this topic is very important. When it comes to your concours, this topic is very vital, sophisticated for your public concours. And therefore, I'll urge you to try your best to understand all what I'll be saying in today's lesson. Not just that, also feel free to ask questions on what you don't understand. And then at the end of the lesson, I've provided five past concours questions that are relating to this topic, and then I would like you to answer them, or you produce their plan, send it to us for correction. Let's get started with the topic, human rights and public liberties. Like I said, this topic is very vital when it comes to ENAM, NASLA, EMIA, ERIC, and other public concours. So we're going to begin with a general introduction of what public freedom is all about, what human right is all about. We're going to discuss the notion of human right and public freedom. And of course, we're going to look at the difference that exists between human rights and public freedom. Some school of thought hold that there is no difference between human rights and public freedom or public liberty. But I would like you to know that there exists a very thin difference between human rights and public freedom. And we are going to, in this lesson, we are going to come out with that difference that exists between human rights and public freedom. We'll discuss their notion, and then we're going to look at the protection of this human right and public freedom in Cameroon. So in looking at the protection of human right in Cameroon and public freedom in Cameroon, we are going to discuss the national protection. Human right and public liberties are protected in Cameroon at a national level by the administration and by administrative institutions. And then internationally, we have judicial protection and non-judicial protection. So this is the program for our today's class. So shall we begin with a general introduction? I would like you to know the very first thing that the very first question that needs to be answered here is, what is human right and what are public freedoms? And as simple as it is, human right we may just define it as those rights which are inherent to all human beings. Those rights that you enjoy them because you are a human being. The notion of human rights can be considered moral claims that we make on the society by virtue of our humanity or by virtue of our human nature. So that is why we say it may be referred to as those rights that are inherent to all human beings. So we're going to be looking more into that. In this chapter, or in this lesson, we are going to make an attempt to analyze the slight difference that exists between human right and freedom. However, we have to bear in mind that this difference is very thin, given that human rights at times tend to contain public freedoms. Some authors even hold that they constitute one and the same thing. Nonetheless, notwithstanding, we are going to look at this argument in, we are going to discuss this in our subsequent lines, we're going to look at the thin difference between human right and then public freedoms. So the first thing is human right. What is human right? Like I said before, I said human rights are those rights that are inherent to you as a human being. In this sense of reasoning, we are talking about those natural rights which the law recognizes and consecrates in texts of law or through court decisions. Court decisions, we call them jurisprudence. That is what we call human right. Human rights, when we're talking about human rights here, we're talking about those inherent rights that you have them because you're a human being, or those moral claims that you have on the society due to your human nature. We are talking about those natural rights which the law has recognized and consecrated in a law text or through court decisions, which we call jurisprudence. Now, it should be noted that it should be well noted that human rights are both natural and positive in nature. So human rights, this is such that human rights are recognized. They must be recognized to every human being, irrespective of your race, irrespective of your tribe, irrespective of your religion, irrespective of your political orientation, irrespective of the language you speak, irrespective of your gender. Human rights is supposed to be recognized for every human being, irrespective of whatever difference. So you are beginning to see the difference that will exist between what? Human right and public freedom. All right. We are going to continue from here to look at some historical point of view. We are going to look at how human right all came about. But before we go to that, I want to let you know that the protection and the guarantee of the fundamental human rights of citizens in a state is an essential criterion for the assertion of the state or for the existence of the rule of law in that state. A society without the existence of rule of law may simply be because there is no protection of human right. So if human right and fundamental freedoms are not being granted to citizens, then we are afraid to say that there is no rule of law in that society. In this vein, the rule of law was defined by Chief Justice Daniel Mokobesone during the reopening of the judicial year in 2015. He defined human right as a state in which all political, administrative, central, and local authorities act in conformity to lay down norms. When we talk of norms, we are talking about laws, to lay down norms, and in which individuals enjoy their public liberties as well as their procedural and jurisdictional guarantees. This is what Chief Justice Lord Daniel Mokobesone said as concerning human rights in 2015. That is why Jacques Chevalier affirms that a state of law is not a state with any kind of laws. If you have laws, and among those laws, there are no laws that protect human rights and freedoms, then that state is not being governed by law. That is what Jacques Chevalier said. He affirmed about human rights. Given that the state that does not, that has any kind of law, must have good law capable of ensuring the aforementioned rights and privileges of citizens. So now we are going to look at the historical, from we are going to look at it in a historical point of view, the origin of human rights. So, and I'm going to be saying a few number of things. From a historical point of view, I would like you to know that the origin of human rights can be traced from the ancient Greece and the ancient Rome. That is where human rights started. That is where human rights came from. It was then developed and systematically consecrated in the American Declaration of Independence in around 1776. And also in the 1789 French Declaration. So from here now, one can say that human rights were first of all proclaimed in national instrument before being recognized at the international level. We can see examples of national texts like the Declaration of the State of Virginia. We can talk of the English Magna Charta of 1215. We can talk of the bills or the Bill of Rights of 1689, as well as the 1789 French Declaration that I spoke about. So at the international level, the two world wars that we know about, that is World War I and World War II, the First and the Second World War took place. And after the First World War and after the Second World War, something was realized, something was being noticed. What was noticed was the animalistic side of man. The animalistic side of man was exposed. That is to say, man was seen like, you know, an animal. Okay? And for this reason, at the end of the Second World War, the victorious state deemed it necessary to make an international proclamation of rights. Now, this laid down international proclamation of rights was known as the UDHR, the Universal Declaration of Human and People's Rights, published on the 10th of December 1948. This Universal Declaration of Human and People's Rights, it had the ambition to make peace, justice, liberty, and human dignity in the world of reign. So in this line, we will not go without looking at what Article 1 of the Universal Declaration of Human and People's Rights says. Article 1 affirms that all human beings are born free and equal in rights and dignity. So despite your race, despite your tribe, despite your gender, despite your the language you speak, despite your culture and tradition, despite your political stand, you are born equal. You are born equal and free. You are born free and equal in the term of right and dignity. So Article 1 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, it declares that all human beings are born free and equal in rights and dignity. So this text actually makes a list of the rights and liberties that every human being must be aware that he or she has. You should know, I have the right, I have the right to this, I have the right for, I have the right, I have this right, I have this right, I have this right, I have this right. They are your rights. Okay? So now, we are still talking about right before we go to freedoms. And we're also going to look at freedom. But now, before we proceed, because I would like you to know the various national and international law texts that are governing human rights. You cannot be writing a NAM without knowing this. You cannot be writing NASLA without knowing this. You cannot go and sit in a hall that you want to write a MIA without knowing this. Now, The first thing I would like you to know about the Universal Declaration of Human Rights is that this law, this text, it makes a list of the rights and liberties that every human being must be aware that he or she has. That's one thing you must know. All your rights and liberties, you need to be aware. You need to know that I have this right, I have this freedom. And then another thing now I want you to also know about the Universal Declaration of Human Rights is the fact that this Universal Declaration of Human Rights, it lacks the Pacta sunt servanda. What do I mean by Pacta sunt servanda? It lacks the binding character. That text is not binding. It means that there is, when with the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, there are choices. Okay? It lacks the Pacta sunt servanda. I think I should have it around here. So, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights lacks the Pacta sunt servanda. It lacks the binding character. All right. That's it. All right. So, since the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, it lacks the binding character, it was then, after some time, it was now being consecrated. In December 1966, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights was consecrated by the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, and also by the International Covenant on Economic, Social, and Cultural Rights. And this text now, they have the binding character. So you need to know that the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, it lacked the binding character, and then it was later consecrated by the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, as well as the International Covenant on Economic, Social, and Cultural Rights, and which both have the binding character. Human rights at a regional level is being consecrated in a series of texts. And we're going to look at some of them. For example, you might have been hearing about the African Charter of Human and People's Rights, ACHPR, the African Charter of Human and People's Rights, the United Nations Charter, the European Convention on Human Rights, American Convention of Human Rights, and so on. Now, what about the case of Cameroon? In Cameroon, the human rights situation was ameliorated as from 1990. This was principally due to the wind of change, which was as a result of the collapse of the Soviet Union and the impact of the 16th France-African Summit. Now, during the France-African Summit, the then France president, whose name was François Mitterrand, he told African leaders that France will offer aid, that is help, and other guarantees of human rights, and is going to grant help, financial assistance, you know, and other guarantees only to those countries where human rights are being respected. So, now, human rights must be respected, the respect of human rights, the promotion and the guarantee of human rights and democracy must be effective. And that French aid, French help, and other financial assistance is going to be timid in those countries that will not abide to these new conditions. So you see the condition that was given to African leaders, that France will offer help to those countries in which human rights is respected and promoted and there is a guarantee for human rights and democracy. But French help will be timid in those countries in which human rights or these conditions are not being respected. So African leaders now, African head of state, they had no choice than to adopt policies that will enable democracy and human rights to be enjoyed by citizens. This is because most of these countries were facing severe economic challenges like hardship. And in a bid to abide to the above-mentioned rules, a series of laws were adopted, such as the 1990 Liberty Laws that you know about, 18 January 1996. I'm talking about 1996, the Constitution, okay? Law number 96/06 of 18 January 1996 is the law that amends the Constitution of 2nd June 1972. Together with the 1990 Liberty Laws. So, sometimes you are talking about the amendment of the Constitution and you don't really know why was this Constitution amended. This is one of the reasons. This is one of the things that came about, that brought about the 1990 Liberty Law. This is also one of the reasons that brought about the amendment of the Constitution in 1996, 18 January, by law number 96/06 of 18 January 1996 to amend or revise the Constitution of 2nd June 1972. I also want you to note that in the Constitution of, in the 1996 Constitution, the human right were being enshrined or imputed in the preamble. So the preamble of the 1996 Constitution of Cameroon, it is made up. It has a lot of human right affirmations. The preamble of the Constitution also affirms its commitment to the United Nations Charter, the African Charter, and the Universal Declaration of Human and People's Rights. So. If this condition was not being given by François Mitterrand, president of France, maybe the 1990 Liberty Laws might not have come about. Maybe the Constitution might not have been amended in 1996. Okay, now, I'm just from saying that the Constitution affirms a lot of human right facilities in Cameroon. And then that the preamble, it has been done in the preamble. And when you read the Constitution in Article 65, take note of that. Article 65 of the Constitution provides that the preamble form part and parcel of the Constitution itself. That is it for human rights, guys. Now let's proceed to look at public freedoms, public liberties. First thing first, I will be saying that public liberties, they are now those rights that they underpin democracy in a political system. For a state to be considered as democratic, as a democratic state, public liberty must not only be provided by the legal instrument in force, but they must also be respected and protected so as to facilitate the emancipation of citizens. These public freedoms I'm talking about, they are being protected by a judge. This was explained by Chief Lord Justice Alexis de Pandamuele during the official reopening of the judicial year of the 23rd, on the 23rd of February 2012. When he said that if a judge fails in protecting fundamental freedoms, it means he has failed in everything despite the obstacle and means. Let's go to that. So, Chief Lord Justice Alexis de Pandamuele, during the official reopening of the judicial year 2012, 23rd February, he made this statement: if a judge fails in protecting fundamental freedoms, it means he has failed in everything despite the obstacle and means. So this is just to let you know the importance of the protection of public freedom. Protection of public freedom is very important in the life of a state. Excuse me. Now we're going to continue with our lectures. This is God Will Yakum lecturing you on public human rights and public liberties. And I want you to know that public liberties is a combination of rights of individuals, that is the combination of the individual rights and collective rights of persons. So now, when we are talking about freedom, we are no longer talking about those rights that you have because you are a human being. No, they are not just those rights, those rights that are inherent. That is no longer the case. Alright, so ladies and gentlemen, that is the very thin difference, like I told you before, the very thin difference that exists between human rights and freedom. I'm going to use some examples to explain, okay? For example, human rights have all human beings, you have the right to live. The protection from arbitrary deprivation of life. You are being protected because you have the right. You have the right to live. You have the right to life. You have the right to education. That is why when you give birth to a child and you don't send a child to school, you are violating that child's right to education. You have the right to health care. You have the right to equality. Equality is a right. Now let's look at freedom. You have the freedom of expression. That is a freedom. Now it's no more a right. It's a freedom. You have this freedom of, we used to say freedom of speech. So now when we say you have the freedom of speech, it does not mean that you have the right to talk. No, you are free to talk. That's what it means. So now, when you have the right, when you have right, you have to enjoy that right. But when you have freedom, you have the choice whether you are going to execute it or not. When we say you have the freedom of expression, if something happens and you want to express yourself, fine and good. But if you don't want to express yourself, fine and good. You have the freedom of association, freedom of assembly. You are free to belong to any assembly so long as it's of public utility. You can belong to any church you want. You can belong to any NGO, any organization, any organization, your village meeting, you are free. You are free to, those ones we call them freedom. So that we say freedom of association, freedom of assembly, freedom of movement. The constitution says that everyone shall be free to move about freely in the territory of the republic. You are free. Go to Douala. Come go to Yaoundé. Go to the north region. If you have your transport, you are free to move about freely in the territory of the republic. That is a freedom. So you see the difference that is between a right and freedom. But you now see that some rights constitute freedom. So that is why some school of thought hold that it is one and the same thing, but there is a thin difference. And this is why you keep on receiving questions in public concours relating to this topic. We say you have freedom of the press. In the constitution, it's clear. You have freedom of the press. When we're talking of press, I believe you know what we're talking about. So you are free. You have freedom of the press, freedom to participate in the democratic life of your country. So The document that I mentioned some time ago, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, it outlines your rights and freedom. Public liberty can be considered as a combination of collective and individual rights of persons that are guaranteed by the state through legislations. Now, Louis Favreau, he referred to them as a body of benefits and guarantees that a constitutional order recognizes for everyone in relation to their interaction with public authorities, as well as all benefits and guarantees recognized by the international judicial order. According to Louis Favreau, that is what he thinks public liberties mean. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Godwill Yakoma. We are looking at human rights and public liberties. And I said it's a very vital part in the preparation for your public exams, public concours. And therefore, you have to endeavor, make necessary efforts to understand all that I am going to be saying. The notion of public liberty was first mentioned in the 1789 French Revolution. In Article 9 of the French Constitution of 1793, it was stated that the law must protect public and individual liberty against the oppression of those who rule. Please take note. That is what the French Constitution in its Article 9. The law must protect public and individual liberty against the oppression of those who rule. So, public liberties were further developed under the Third French Republic. Here, it was admitted that these liberties should not only be manifested in public, but the state must be involved to protect them for the benefit of citizens. Now, this was why am I talking about France? I'm going to mention it. Why am I talking about the French Constitution in Article 9, where it stated that the law must protect public and individual liberty against the oppression of those who rule? Why am I mentioning this? Because Cameroon, remember, Cameroon has once been a French colony. Cameroon was a mandate under French. It was given to France as a mandated territory and later on as a trust territory. So it means that this notion that I'm talking about, it was being applied in Cameroon, mutatis mutandis. What I mean by is that it was being applied word to word. It was being applied in Cameroon word to word. That's the meaning of that. Word to word. The same way applied in France, the same way it was applied in the Republic of Cameroon. So it became really effective with the adoption of the 1990 Liberty Laws, which replaced the existing government governing laws that were governing public liberties, such as the law number 66 by LF of 21st December 1966, and this law number 66 by LF by 18 of 21st of December 1966 on freedom of mass communication. And some innovations were made. Yes, some innovations were made, such as law number 90 by 56 of 19 December 1990 governing political parties. Okay. That is it. When we're talking about human rights and public liberty, that is what we're talking about. This is what we mean when we're talking about human rights
and public liberty. So your understanding of human rights, your understanding of public liberty is very important. Now that you know what human rights is all about, now that you know what public liberty is all about, let's go ahead and discuss another important notion. We're going to be looking at the protection of human rights and fundamental freedoms in Cameroon. Human rights and fundamental freedoms are being protected in Cameroon, and the protection of human rights and fundamental freedom in Cameroon is done both at the national level and the international level. When I was talking about a program, I told you that when we come to the protection of human rights and freedom, we'll look at the national protection and the international protection. Now, under national protection, we are looking at how human rights and freedom is being protected at the national level. So, at the national level, human rights and freedom, the national protection is done by the administration on one hand, and also by the courts on the other hand. So the administration and the courts, they play an important role in the national protection of human rights and freedom. So we are going to look at the protection of human rights and freedom by the administration, and under that, I'm talking about administrative protection. Let me scroll down so that you know what I'm talking about. All right. Yeah. So we are talking about the national protection here. National protection of human rights and freedom. Then there I'm trying to say that at the national level, human rights and freedom are being protected by the administration and also by the courts. So the administration, under administration, we have protection by administrative authorities, we have protection by administrative institutions. They play an important role in the protection of human rights and freedom. Now, it looks like a paradox that the administration is in charge of promoting and guaranteeing human rights and freedom. Why will it look like a paradox? Why? Why is it going to be paradoxical? Because the administration is often considered as the principal violator of human rights and freedom. So if we're now saying that the administration also has a hand, the administration also has institutions that are in charge of the promotion of human rights and freedom, it looked like a paradox, but it is real. We have public authorities that they protect human rights and freedom. For example, labor inspectors. According to the Labor Code, in its section 139 and section 140, the Cameroon Labor Code is section 139 and 140, the inspector is an administrator whose role is to resolve dispute between the employer and the employee. So, remember, the relationship between the employer and the employee are being governed by the labor code. So the role of the inspector is to resolve dispute between the employer and the employee according to section 139 and section 140 of the labor code. Other administrative authorities like the president of the republic, the prime minister, ministers of state, minister delegate, governors, senior divisional officers, DOs, and all other administrative authorities, they also play an important role in the protection of human rights and freedom. I'll tell you how. So, how do they protect human rights and freedom? I'm going to be telling you that. Remember, if you are the president of the republic, if you are the head of government, a prime minister, if you are the minister, if you are a governor, if you are a DO, if you are a traditional ruler, if you, no matter the position of leadership that you hold, you are managing public structures, and under you, you have subordinates. So these structures, those under you, those under your leadership, they are there while applying the laws and the regulations in force. So now you, who is the leader, you who is the administrator, you who is the authority, in the course of your management, you may carry out some acts or omissions that cause grief to the administered or to your subordinates. So, this is going to lead to administrative litigation before the administrative courts. I would like you to know that the administrative court receive matters that relates between where the state is a party. So that's where the administrative court comes in. So if you are a DO, you are a mayor, you are a DO, you are a governor, you are a prime minister, and so on. When you carry out, in the course of exercising your duty, your administrative role, or your management, in the course of doing that, you may cause prejudice to someone. In the course of doing the rightful thing that you are supposed to do, in the course of carrying out your management duty, you carry out some acts or some omissions that cause grief to the people you are administering. Now, before this litigation takes place, the administrator must first be seized through a pre-litigation complaint. During this time, the administered will indicate the prejudice suffered and then pray the administrator to withdraw his act or to pay damages as the result of the prejudice that the administered has suffered. So now, pre-litigation complaint that we are talking about, it has to do with three principal functions. The first function is to inform the administration about the existence of a dispute. And the second is to get permits to conciliate the administration and the administered. And the last is to justify the seizure of the competent administrative courts. So the administered is now going to seize the competent administrative court to look into that matter. Okay, that is it by the administration. And I want to let you know that administrative institutions, they are also there for the protection of human rights. So when I'm talking about administrative institutions, I'm talking about institutions like the National Communication Council, institutions like ELECAM, institutions of administrative character that are out to protect human rights and freedom. And when we're talking about such institution, the very first institution of administrative character that protects human rights and freedom is the National Commission of Human Rights and Freedoms in Cameroon. So it is the main institution in charge of the protection of human rights in Cameroon. This institution, it sensitizes the public about the need to respect human rights and freedom, and also it receives complaints about the violation of human rights, and it punishes people that violate human rights, fundamental human rights and freedoms. We have institutions like ELECAM. ELECAM, you know, ELECAM is in charge of electoral processes in Cameroon. And by so doing, ELECAM guarantees your right to vote. You have the right to vote. Yes, you have the right to take part in elections. You have the right to take part in an election as a candidate for the election itself. And so you can vote. ELECAM guarantees your right to vote and your right to be voted. If you are a candidate, you have the right to be voted. If you are a voter, you have the right to a voter's card so that you can vote. We also have the NCC, the National Communication Council in Cameroon. The NCC now is in charge of inter alia of the protection of ideas of peace, democracy, and human rights, as well as the dignity of individuals. Now they have a special concern on children and youths in the media. Now we are not going to end there. We are also going to look at judicial protection of human rights. We are still under national protection of human rights and freedom. So judicial protection of human rights and freedom is being carried out by one, the administrative judge and the constitutional judge. So please take note of that. When we talk of the administrative judge, we mean the judge at the level of the administrative court. When you seize the administrative court for administrative litigations because of grief that you have suffered prejudice as a result of the action or the omission of a particular administrative authority, you can seize the administrative court for that. So the administrative judge, who is the judge of legality, he protects human rights and freedom. And how does the administrative judge carry out this function? The administrative judge can cancel the decision of any administrative authority. A minister can take a decision that is violating your fundamental right and freedom. By seizing the administrative court, the administrative judge can cancel the decision of that minister or the decision of that governor or DO. The administrative judge can cancel part of it, or sometimes can cancel all. Good. And if you have suffered prejudice as a result of omission, then the administrative judge can give an order for the administrative authority in question to, you know, for example, imagine that you have your house somewhere in town, somewhere, and someone comes and is, this is the entrance of your house. Someone is coming now and is constructing his own house that is blocking the entrance of your own house. And when you verify where, you see that the mayor has given the permit, the license to the person to build a house there. So you no longer have a problem with the person who is constructing his own house here. Your problem now is with the mayor. Yes, because the mayor is the one that has issued the license for him to build his house there. So now, when you bring this, you have to remember there's what we call pre-litigation, pre-administrative litigation. And then when you follow the three steps, the administrative judge can order the mayor to withdraw that drive, that license that was given to that person. And the person should not construct a house there. Even if the house has been constructed, they can tear it down. They can break it down. So I believe you have understood. We have administrative authorities day in, day out at the administrative court, and their decisions are being cancelled by as a result of maybe taking illegal decisions or decisions that cause prejudice to others. And you know, it is a slap on the face if you are a mayor and you take a decision and then the court cancel that decision. It's a slap on the face, and as a result, since you don't want your decision to be cancelled anyhow, before you take a decision, you're going to take your time and make sure that what the decision you're taking is legal, is legally binding, and also you also look at other matters, because little things do matter. Now, looking at the constitutional judge, I would like you to know that the constitution is the custodian of your rights and freedom. That is one thing you must know. The constitution is the custodian of your rights and freedom. Why? Because the constitution is that document that protects human rights and fundamental human rights. Your fundamental human rights, they are being protected by the constitution. Good. So, the rights that everyone enjoy in Cameroon are contained in the preamble of the constitution. And Article 65 of the constitution affirms that this preamble form part and parcel of the constitution itself. Also, the preamble of the constitution goes ahead to affirm its commitment to the United Nations Charter, African Charter, and the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, and all duly ratified treaties relating to the human right, fundamental human rights and freedom. So you see that the Constitution is a custodian of human rights and freedom. The Constitution is there to protect human rights. And then we also talk of the judicial judge. Now, well, look at the judicial judge. The judicial judge, who is the principal guarantor, he's a principal actor, or I can call him a guarantor. Guarantor of liberties, individual liberties in a state. He's one of the persons that guarantees individual public liberties. So he does this through procedures like habeas corpus and others. So the judicial judge also plays an important role in the protection of human rights and freedom. In the course of trial, they make sure that your rights are being protected, even as a criminal. Even as a criminal. So now, ladies and gentlemen, we are going now to look at another section, which is going to be international protection of human rights and freedom. At the international level, we are going to categorize it under judicial and non-judicial protection of human rights and freedom. Now, those non-judicial protection of human rights and freedom, they are protection of human rights and freedom by organizations, by international organizations. We know about the United Nations, we know about the African Union, we know about the European Union, we know about other international organizations that protect human rights and freedom, and they are not judicial institution. So they are not judicial institution in nature. So these are non-judicial protection of human rights and human rights and public liberties. These are institutions, international organizations that protect human rights and freedom. All right, that is not all. We also know that there are non-governmental organizations that exist. They are NGOs that exist at the international level. And they are also out to protect human rights and freedom. For example, we have the Amnesty International. For example, we have Human Rights Watch. I believe you know about that. Then now we're going to look at the judicial protection of human rights and freedom. Under judicial protection, we are going to now be looking at, remember we are at the international level. You know about the African Court of Human Rights and even the International Criminal Court. So at the international level, we have these courts, that these international courts that are out to also protect human rights, of course, human rights and freedom. So, ladies and gentlemen, we are gradually coming to the end of our today's lesson. So I'll be leaving you with some past questions. Yeah. So the first question is, are public order and public freedoms irreconcilable? The next question. All right. So the next question, we are talking about the protection of human rights and freedom. So question two, the protection of individual rights and freedoms in Cameroon. Discuss. Question three, freedom without civism is not freedom, is not true freedom at all. So this particular question I'm giving you as assignment. So I want you to do it and submit. You submit in the comment section, or you submit directly to me via WhatsApp, or you upload it to the email info@acadexcognitive.com. Another question? Moreover, another thing that bothers me about the supposed universality of human rights is the fact that they are not. They are always double standards. What is your opinion on this assertion by Simone Veil on human rights nowadays? That's Enam, General Administration Cycle A, 2023. Then we have this question from 218 Enam also, Court Registry and Magistracy. The question reads, the guarantee of human rights and freedoms by the Cameroon Constitution. Discuss. This is the second question I will be giving you as assignment. Assignment. So you have to do it, and then you also submit the same way. You choose, you can submit on the comment section or through email or directly to me through WhatsApp. And before I leave you guys, I would like you to know that hard work really pays. I would like you to know the place of hard work in your preparation. So don't feel like you already know, and don't feel like you know nothing. Every day, keep on making steps towards your success. Remember, for example, is what I've said here. When hard luck comes knocking, answer with hard work. So there is a school of thought that holds that hard luck does not exist. All that exists is hard work. So we cannot say he's a lucky person. We say he's a hardworking person. So you should know the place of hard work. Continue preparing very hard for your various exams, and then keep on making progress each day, each hour. Thank you for taking the lesson, and then we shall see again in our subsequent lesson. Bye.